Whistleblower Report, exposing lies, deceptions, and all that has assaulted our way of life. We must take back our freedom and live as God designed in a free America that honors our Constitution and our Creator. Our experts in medicine, ministry, law, military, environment, and education empower us to grow together as a nation. For such a time as this, the Whistleblower Report offers truth and solutions. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report from Truth for Health Foundation. This is Dr. Lee for America, here with another team of our whistleblowers who are bringing you the truth about the lies, deceptions, and all of the assaults on our way of life, your freedom, and your life. For such a time as this, we are here to bring you truth, hope, and solutions. Check out our website, www.truthforhealth.org, for medical help, legal help, and all of the other resources. Join us in our Faith Over Fear seminars each Tuesday night via Zoom at 8 o'clock Eastern Time every week. And now, here is your host for today. Welcome to the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America, and we are here just a few days before the momentous and potentially life-changing election of 2024. Major Mike Gary and I will be bringing you some areas of concern, as well as some hopeful messages as well. But first, I want to comment. America is at one of the greatest crossroads and decision points in my lifetime, perhaps in our modern history, in choosing between the road to perdition or tyranny, or the road to the founding principles as our forefathers worked so hard to achieve, and all of our ancestors and military veterans down through the years have fought to defend. In a sense, those of us alive today facing and able to vote and facing election 2024 are facing our Normandy. We either charge ahead and vote our principles and stand for our principles, or we die under the hand of tyranny. Much as the soldiers facing the beaches of Normandy on June 6, 1944 faced, charge up the hill against enemy gunfire and risk dying in the ocean, dying on the beach, dying as they climbed up to free Europe, or live under tyranny that Hitler sought to impose on the world. We are facing something similar today. We have lived under the tyranny of COVID and the Biden-Harris administration for the last 4 years. And that tyranny escalates every single day, persecuting Christians, persecuting people who speak the truth, going after pastors, lawyers, doctors, military service members, public servants, border patrol agents. Anyone who dares to challenge the narrative is persecuted and threatened with imprisonment or worse. And we've certainly seen the persecution and lawfare waged against our former president, Donald Trump, and a legitimate presidential candidate who had been voted in according to the process described in our Constitution, voted on by the people. And the tyranny of the Democrat Party has been staggering. In fact, they violated democratic principles they claim to defend in the way they arbitrarily disenfranchised and deselected their voter base and their current president, Joseph Biden, and removed him in an arbitrary decision by the party elite and installed Kamala Harris, current vice president, without a single vote, without running in the primary. So in a sense, they have engaged in the most blatant tyranny by their own actions and are violating all the principles they claim to support. That's just one of many issues. And that brings us to, and Major Gary, you might want to comment on this, that brings us to Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. The question is, has this Democrat administration already essentially ended Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution, which specifies who the president shall be? Major Gary, why don't you read that, and let's talk about that as we look at some of the serious issues we face and what is being done to undermine the integrity of our elections.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dr. Vliet. Appreciate it. And just so everybody knows where we're talking about an election here, I am on here representing my own personal opinions and not the military in any way, shape, or form. So yeah, Doc Vliet and I got an interesting email here, and it states this. I found this incredibly interesting. It says, one of my oldest friends, who happens to believe that Donald Trump poses a grave threat to democracy, I asked him the following question. Do you believe that we are currently living in a democracy as defined by the Articles of the U.S. Constitution for representative government? Yes, he replied. Then who is currently holding the executive power as defined by Article 2? I asked. After some gentle prodding, he admitted that it does not seem to be Joe Biden. However, he hastened to add that I was being too legalistic in my argument. To understand what I mean, let's review two key passages of Article 2. And the first one is this: the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and together with a vice president chosen for the same term. In case of the removal of the president from office or of his death, resignation, or inability to discharge the powers and duties of the said office, the same shall devolve on the vice president. After the first presidential debate on June 27th, the Democrats declared that President Biden is not fit to stand for a second term, which means that he is unable to discharge the powers and duties of the said office. Nevertheless, the powers and duties of the office did not devolve to the vice president so that she was anointed to be the Democrats' candidate for the election scheduled to take place 4 months later. In a world as tumultuous as ours, a lot can happen in 4 months, and yet during this entire span of time, no one has been able to answer the question, in whom is executive power currently vested? Question mark. Big question mark. Thus, it seems to me that democracy in America has already been suspended. Far from posing a threat to democracy, Donald Trump is currently our only realistic hope for restoring our representative government as defined by Article 2.
I thought that was an extremely important analysis as well. And now it goes to another point. So it supported my point that we don't currently follow the rule of law. And let me also clarify, America has never been a democracy. In fact, that term greatly concerned the founders, who described democracy as mob rule or the tyranny of the majority. And that's exactly what we're seeing. We are a constitutional republic with appropriate checks and balances so that the voices of the minority are also part of our representative government, which is also the reason for the Electoral College, which is designed to protect those who live in small states with small populations, from being overrun and ruled only by the large states like New York and California, with the most population density. So all the way around, we aren't a democracy, and therefore, the only threat to democracy is the current party in power that is not following the rule of law in a constitutional republic, nor are they following the democratic principles they claim to support. And then that brings us to the next point. Under the Constitution, one of the most important tasks of the federal government is to secure our borders. Our current president and vice president in office in Washington since January 2021 have not only failed to do that, they have openly engaged in facilitating and paying for a massive invasion of illegal aliens from 181 different countries around the world. In fact, data just released today and posted by Elon Musk on X, current statistics show that of the entire population of Nicaragua, 6.5% of their country's entire population has come illegally to the United States of America and been allowed in without documentation, without legal process. They are among the more than 30 million illegal aliens that have come into this country since Biden and Harris took office. That is a huge problem, and that goes to the point we wanted to address in today's whistleblower report, which both Major Gary and I receive updates on data and intelligence, open source intelligence, from a retired Navy veteran who has been diligent at studying the data on all of this. And we both received this email with the subject line, 3.6 million illegal Dem voters in seven swing states. In 2024, the Democrat voter mills are in full operation. So that was one thing we wanted to talk about today, on top of what just was announced about the enormous percentage of one country's population that is now illegally inside the United States. And across America, whether it's a Republican in name only state or whether it's a Democrat state, illegal aliens are being encouraged to register and vote and provided documents to do so. So, Major Gary, bring us today, bring our audience into the discussion on some of this data that you and I got today about the mail-in ballots, the ballot drop boxes, the fraudulent absentee ballots, and all of this. It's really quite staggering and very alarming.
Yeah, well, I think you've brought up some really good points. And I think if this current administration is not going to secure the border, why would we expect secure elections? You know, just following the example of so many other things, but these being two big purposes for the government even existing, and the track record is tracking that we don't fulfill these duties, you know, or their oaths. A lot of these are oath-bound officers to the Constitution, and they're not fulfilling those things. So this is the track record. This is where it's driving us to. And interesting, you know, a lot of us observed in 2020 all the many ways that they stole the 2020 election. And interestingly, there is still some cases that are open from 2020 And I just want to point this out really quick because it's important. There are some people that are fighting still to this day for the 2020 election results to be fixed. And one of those guys is Patrick Byrne, the CEO of Overstock. He runs the American Project. And in Pennsylvania, they've had a 4-year battle. And to identify this case, this is the case where they had the truck driver, I think his name was Jesse Morgan, that he was given the wrong load and he ended up bringing it to a location, waited several hours, and then he finds out that his truckload, he was carrying ballots. And so anyway, this was the truckload of ballots. This is this case that is still active in Pennsylvania. Well, through this case, they have found out that a company in Michigan who prints official ballots printed additional ballots and handed it over to a place in New York where SEIU Union sorted through all these different ballots to put them in the proper precincts where they were going to do the election theft. And then they passed them through the Postal Service, through a trusted Postal Service building and probably manager, so they could get these ballots, which would be these mailed-in ballots, into the system. So these were additionally printed ballots that were above and beyond the original orders. So you got to understand there's companies out there that print ballots. They print certain amounts for certain precincts. Well, these were above and beyond. So all parts of the process, there is fraud and corruption. And it was discovered because this man, Jesse Morgan, got the wrong load and he started asking questions. So anyway, this battle is still underway and it does have an effect on the 2024 election process. Now, how? Okay, as of Friday, October 25th, I saw an article was in the Gateway Pundit. It said, breaking: Lancaster County, Pennsylvania uncovers and halts suspected voter registration fraud scheme. 2,500 potentially fraudulent applications submitted just before the deadline. And then within an hour, there was an update to the story, and it said, update: Lancaster County, Pennsylvania fake ballot registration scandal expands. Thousands of fake registrations involves two more counties, two groups mentioned in scandal. So the awareness level of the American people is like through the roof as we've had to deal with all these different types of events, but particularly on this election, the awareness level is through the roof. You know, you don't even, it's not like I'm the only one bringing this information forward. There's so many people. It's refreshing, in fact. I find it awesome that within an hour, there's an update to such a story, finding it, this fraud is even more far spread. Well, this is great because people are challenging and going to fight these things. And as we see, there's many, many stories. For example, over in Virginia, we have a story where Virginia Governor, Attorney General to take voter purge fight to the SCOTUS, okay, to the Supreme Court. And this is an article by Liberty Simmons. And it says this: Youngkin and Attorney General Jason Myers are vowing to appeal a federal judge's order to restore thousands of suspected non-citizens from voter rolls. They say they will take the issue all the way up to the Supreme Court. This comes after the federal judge sided with a Virginia judge's ruling against the purge of as many as 1,600 registered voters. The federal judge based the decision on a federal law that prohibits purging voters 90 days before a presidential election. Anna Dorman represented the voter rights group that filed the suit. We're very concerned about this practice. We think it is putting the votes of eligible Virginians on the line, said Dorman, with Protect Democracy, chasing after conspiracies, she says. The groups and the Justice Department said many of the voters purged were in fact citizens. DC polls open for early voting for 2024 general election. They said their registrations were canceled because of bureaucratic errors or mistakes like a mischecked box on a form. Attorney General Myers responded to the ruling by saying Virginia will be filing an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court immediately. Governor Youngkin posted on X platform stating, "It is common sense. Non-citizens shouldn't be on the voter rolls." Okay, so there is a lot of this, but there is a battle being waged at every step of this. In 2020, what I remember is somebody, a whistleblower, would bring forth one of these stories, and most everybody around would deny it. But that's not happening this time. That's what's so refreshing, Dark Fleet, is as these stories come forward, and there has been many, like dozens of these type of stories, almost one for every state coming forward, but there's somebody battling against it. So that is the refreshing piece that's going on. I feel like we have a full army on our side to try to pursue the truth, but also pursue the laws on the books in the Constitution. So I'm encouraged, and I have some other stuff that I can share later of some good things going on.
Well, that's good. And I think you're right. It's staggering in terms of the reports of just out of the state of Washington today and Oregon about burning of boxes of completed ballots in both of those jurisdictions. And then we have all of the other reports that we can put some of these links in the show notes from the analysis and summary that we received today. And I think it's important to be aware, just like the soldiers on the beaches of Normandy did not give up in the face of enemy fire, and they pushed forward, we need to keep pushing forward on exactly what Major Gary just said. We need to keep taking the fight to the courts and holding officials for accountability. And as I was pleased to see my former home state, my birth state, Virginia, the governor of that state standing for the rule of law. Voters in the United States of America under the Constitution are required to be citizens of the United States of America, not resident visitors or illegal aliens, period. That is the law. And we must get back to enforcing the rule of law. We'll take a break at this point and come right back after the break and talk more about some of what's going on and what you can do as a citizen to protect your right to be, to elect the representatives of your choice and to be heard and your vote to count. This is Dr. Lee for America, and both Major Gary and I have been expressing our personal opinions, not representing any one organization, but we urge all of you to think about what are your principles? What is important that you want to take a stand on? And what are you willing to work to defend that is important to you? Check out our website at www.truthforhealth.org and also check out our store at shoptruthforhealth.com for all of our high quality nutraceuticals and innovative approaches. Welcome to Little Pharma with our FGA approved products from God above, natural medicines that are safer and healthier than risking side effects and toxicity of big pharma shots and pills. Check us out. We'll be right back after the break.
We live in a world full of disinformation, lies, and deceit, often from those institutions and individuals that we used to rely on and trust. In the chaos that surrounds us on a daily basis, it's difficult to find a place for truthful information and helpful guidance. Where can we turn for honest answers, critical solutions, and information that empowers us to be the person that God intended? The Truth for Health Foundation. The Truth for Health Foundation works every day to fight for your basic human rights. We have a track record of providing life-saving emergency actions that can improve your health and empower you with the tools to be safe, happy, and free to live your life. With over 100,000 supporters around the world, we are a critical voice of truth in today's world. We invite you to join our community of financial supporters so that we can continue to be your trusted partner for health, for life, for resilience. Join us today by giving now.
This message is from the Truth for Health Foundation. Hi, I'm Dr. Sam Sigloff, a family medicine physician and a major in the U.S. Army. The following are only my opinions. Service members are being coerced to participate in medical experimentation, with over 7,500 service members being discharged for refusing to participate, many of them losing their retirement and medical benefits. There are allegations that the DoD is committing medical fraud, violating the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and violating constitutional rights of service members. Strong men and women stand ready to defend so that you can sleep peacefully through the night. Now we must stand watch over the military so they can sleep peacefully through the night. Please get involved to help protect the military. This message brought to you by the Truth for Health Foundation. For more information, please visit truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org. That's truthforhealth.org.
Welcome to the second half of the Whistleblower Report. This is Dr. Lee for America with Major Michael Gary, military Seaburn officer. That's his specialty is chemical, biological, radiological, and nuclear weapons officer. And he and I are both speaking as private citizens, not on behalf of any organization, as we share with you our thoughts and concerns about this upcoming election. I thought when I'm living in Arizona, which is being invaded by massive numbers of the illegals being facilitated to cross our border by many NGOs, even Border Patrol agents are directed to help them into the country. Pima County Sheriff's Department is working to assist them rather than enforce the immigration laws. Arizona has many church groups that are working to facilitate the invasion we're facing, and taxpayers are paying for their food, housing, transportation, phones, and medical care, as well as many other services, while Americans are struggling to put food on the table and gas in the gas tank. So I have a particular interest in making sure that we get back to the basics of enforcing the constitutional requirements for the federal government, which is to enforce our borders. And that's why I thought it was particularly interesting that in a recent campaign event, former president and current presidential candidate Donald Trump said November 5th, 2024 is Liberation Day. And immediately I picked up and resonated with that because we've been standing against the tyranny under COVID. So liberation from tyranny is one aspect of our liberation that needs to come on November 5th, 2024. But liberation from the invaders that are taking over our country, and the current administration has made no bones about the fact that they intend to replace Americans, native-born Americans, and legal American citizens from other countries who have come here legally and gone through the process of citizenship, replacing us with these illegals with no connection to our culture. Many don't even speak the language, and no connection to our country and our traditions and our rule of law. And so in much the same way that Europe needed liberation from the tyranny of the socialist regime under the Nazis, America needs liberation from the tyranny of this administration and the tyranny of the invaders. So I thought Liberation Day was quite a very significant and symbolic description for what we face. It is an existentialist crisis. We either survive as a constitutional republic or we die and become a Marxist, socialist, tyrannical dictatorship run by political elites, tech elites, medical elites, military, industrial complex, you name it. All of those who have been in power that have brought the COVID disaster on all of us and cost so many lives. So, Major Gary, you have some hopeful signs that you wanted to share with us. And I wanted people to think about the big picture. This isn't a vote about a person. It is a vote about principle. It's not a vote on personality. It's a vote on policies of our survival.
Yes, Dogley. Interesting that you're comparing D-Day to what you're calling November 5th as Liberation Day. And I'd just like to remind everybody out there that D-Day was only the beginning. And actually, the D-Day was a very miserable day. And so might the 5th be very miserable in a way that it's not over. And, you know, like in the first half of this program, I highlighted a lawsuit that had been going for 4 years. That's 4 years of fighting to get to the center of truth. So just, you know, just because the election may happen, and who knows, it may be a favorable result, it may not actually be the end of it with a bunch of lawsuits that pop up and other things we can't possibly predict. So I just kind of want to prepare the American psyche for what we may see. However, there is a lot of fighters out there now. If, for example, I've got a case here that's extremely important I'd like to share with the American people. This is from the Magnolia Tribune. It's a Mississippi paper. It's entitled, "The Fifth Circuit Sides with Republican Party Strikes Down Mississippi Mail-In Ballot Law." And it's by Russ Latino. Came out on the 26th of October. It states this: during COVID, the Mississippi legislature passed a law permitting mail-in ballots sent on or before Election Day to be received and counted up to 5 days after the election. On Friday, a panel of the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals struck down the law. The Fifth Circuit's decision stemmed from a lawsuit filed by a Republican National Committee, the Mississippi Republican Party, the Mississippi Libertarian Party, and two private individuals. Plaintiffs sued Harrison County elections officials along with the Mississippi Secretary of State, Michael Watson, in their official capacities. The suit sought an injunction against the mail-in ballot law based on the election law clause of the U.S. Constitution. That clause gives Congress the authority to set the time for choosing the election of the president, senators, and members of the House of the Representatives. Okay, so the case, the U.S. District Court in Mississippi previously rejected the plaintiff's arguments, but on appeal, a three-judge panel of the Fifth Circuit overturned the district court's decision, citing Supreme Court precedents. The Fifth Circuit panel held that while states are empowered by Congress to conduct federal elections, federal laws preempt state regulations of the elections. The court noted the Congress in 1845 fixed a uniform time for appointing presidential electors on the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. Then, in 1872, Congress acted to require congressional elections to occur on the same day as the presidential election. Relying on the historical and legal precedent, the Fifth Circuit panel decision explained, it is obvious that a ballot is cast when the state takes custody of it. Precedent and historical practice confirm this day for the election is the day by which ballots must both cast by voters and received by state officials, the court wrote. Because Mississippi statute allows ballot recipient up to 5 days after the federal election day, it is preempted by federal law. Mississippi Republican Party Mike Hurst said in a statement that the court's decision ensures our elections are fair, secure, and transparent while giving certainty, hard thing to find right now, to all Mississippians that election day actually means election day. Okay, here's the potential impact of this, okay? Some important things to note. At least 20 states plus the Washington, D.C. currently accept mail-in ballots received after election day. A Circuit Court of Appeals decision applies to all federal courts within the circuit's jurisdictions, in this case, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, but is not binding on other circuits. However, given the breadth of laws permitting mail-in ballots to be received and counted after Election Day, this ruling will likely generate challenges and decisions in other circuits. Ultimately, the issue will probably be reviewed by the U.S. Supreme Court, particularly if this results in splits amongst the circuits. In the interim, Friday's ruling will not impact the process applied to next Tuesday's election. The Fifth Circuit declined to enter an injunction on Mississippi's law. Instead, we remand to the district court for further proceedings to fashion appropriate relief, giving due consideration to the value of preserving the status quo in a voting case on the eve of the election, the court wrote. However, this does go into effect on November 18th. So it's going to be interesting. And this is precedent set for our, you know, for our side securing our elections. So anyway, I thought that was incredibly important to know at this point in time, Dr. Lee.
Well, it definitely is. It's disappointing they didn't issue the injunction to apply to this election, but it is a victory in many other ways. And one of the things that you and I wanted to also address is the faith basis of the election, in the sense of looking at biblical principles as you decide who gets your vote, but also to look at the role of people of faith in determining the outcome of the election. At this time, in 2024, there are roughly, I've seen different reports, but roughly the projection is 32 million evangelical Christians who have indicated they plan to stay home on Election Day because they don't like Trump, they don't like Kamala Harris. And I think Major Gary and I have some very strong opinion on that. When Christians fail to act in the face of evil, which we are seeing all around us today, then Christians end up supporting the actions of our spiritual enemy and the forces of evil. That has been noted by many strong, bold, courageous leaders, faith leaders, down through the ages. And when you remain silent in the face of evil and silent in the face of an administration that has engaged in such terrible tyranny against the American people, then Christians are ending up supporting an agenda that is anti-God. Whether it's abortion, whether it's the child rape, slave trafficking across the border, whether it's illegal drug use, whether it's anyone, whether it's the money laundering, whether it's any one of a number of egregious sins. I want all of you Christians listening, just because you don't like a person doesn't mean you should refrain from voting on the principles that you claim to support when you go to church and when you say you are a Christian. And that's the focus that Major Gary and I want to close this show. We want you to focus on the principles, not people, and the policies, not personalities, and think about what you are voting for. And these are issues Major Gary and I both feel strongly about. And I would say, whether I like a person or not, these are the principles that have always determined my vote choice. And I hope you will think about this. What are you voting for as we go into Election Day 2024? I think we are voting for two very vastly different ideologies. We're voting for the ideology of individual liberty, individual property ownership, individual rights, freedom of speech, versus government control. So individual liberty versus the collective good. We are voting on the difference between the ideology of Marxism versus a constitutional republic. And you can go down the list. We're voting for the country that we care about, have been raised in, and want to leave for our children and grandchildren. So, Major Gary, let's us go through some of the things that you and I feel are the principles that represent us individually, as well as all we've stood for in our military and medical careers, and what our public charity also stands for. I know for me, I'm voting for the First Amendment and the freedom of speech. My speech as a physician was censored. I was told what I could and couldn't say about medical issues, and that made me apoplectic. I'm voting for the right to speak my opinion and not be censored.
Well, Dogfleet, I'm voting for secure borders and legal immigration, as you can only stuff so many people and burden the American people so much before this whole thing comes crumbling down.
And I'm voting for election integrity, which should include mandatory voter ID. I've said all along, we have to, and this goes back years, not just right now, we have to have an ID for every single thing we do in this country. We must have voter ID to show to be able to vote. And every country I have ever visited, every country I have ever had a residency permit, although I couldn't vote in those countries, I know that they were required to show voter ID. We've got to go back to that.
Well, I would be voting for the Second Amendment and my right to defend my life and my family. And I think we see such low morale in this country, particularly in the urban centers now, that a lot of crime is not, actually probably the majority of crime is not even recorded anymore. It's not even called in because it's just the new way of life. And that's a shame. So in a place like that, you need to be able to defend yourself.
Absolutely. And along that line, I'm voting both for the police to be respected again. I've had family members who've served in law enforcement, and I know they put their lives on the line every day they went to work. And to the corollary of that is that I'm voting for law and order and an end to all of these protesters that trespass and destroy private property and burn our cities and harm people and buildings and animals. It's devastating.
Well, I would be voting for personal responsibility and the end of the revolving door where criminals are being put back on the streets. I mean, this is absolutely insane. It's crazy what's going on. And what you see is just, young ladies like, I forget her name. Lakin Riley, I believe is her name. People that had a whole life ahead of them being snuffed out by these illegal invader criminals that are just taking the joy right out of this country. And so anyway, that's one thing I'd be voting for.
And I'm voting for the Electoral College to be maintained as a protection for all of us who live in smaller states so that we are not overrun and ruled by the dense cities of the East and West Coast. And for the Republic, the constitutional Republic that we have fought to maintain since our founding fathers pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor to create and defend.
Amen to that, Dark Fleet. So I'll be voting for those next Supreme Court justices to protect that Constitution, that constitutional republic, to protect the Bill of Rights and all our founding. As we've seen, the founding of this country has been eroded so bad and a lot of it torn down. So I am voting for these Supreme Court justices to uphold the Constitution.
And along that line, I'm voting for the government to be in place that will continue to appoint federal judges who respect the Constitution and Bill of Rights instead of trying to decide on their own what the new laws should be.
Excellent. I'm voting for keeping our jobs to remain in America and not be outsourced all over the world to like places like China, Mexico, and other foreign countries. The people of this nation have lost their purpose and they've lost what makes them American. And having a job gives them that purpose and that thing that they can be proud of in their lives. And that's something that I want to see return to this nation.
And along that line, I'm voting for doing away with all of the freebies that are given to illegals without looking out for the needs of American citizens, homeless veterans, and others in need across our country who are legitimately Americans. And that ties in with the fact that work and being able to be productive is part of what gives us a sense of purpose in life, a sense of value, and self-esteem. So government handouts do nothing but destroy an individual's sense of self-worth and self-esteem and puts a burden on everyone else. So the freebies have to end.
Yes, they do. I'm voting to keep men out of women's sports. This is a total morale killer, and it has spread so much confusion in every place people in this country interact. Nobody knows what's right and wrong anymore, and it shows because the lack of efficiency in what once was America has been totally lost because nobody dares speak or say anything, and it's largely because we're doing insane things like allowing men to participate as women in women's sports in so many other places.
Well, and that whole agenda also involves mutilating children's bodies in ways that destroy their health, sets them up for a lifetime of pain and suffering. And it's just medically, I've seen the complications of this over my career. It's devastating. So I agree with you on that. I'm voting for the military and the veterans who fought for this country. We spent a lot of time in 2021, 2022, and 2023 defending the abuse of our military service members who were volunteers and who were horribly abused by the Biden-Harris administration with the COVID mandates and all the testing and all the purging of the military based on religious beliefs and those who followed their oath of office. I want us to return to respect for the military and the veterans and for the military service members' constitutional rights to be defended and honored as well.
I'm voting for peace in the Middle East and all around the world, a return of our troops from foreign countries and minimizing America's involvement in foreign conflicts. Because I can tell you, 20 plus years of conflict has not made our military forces any stronger. It's made us so weak. There's thousands and thousands of injuries that have piled up over the years, physical injuries, but then there's the thousands and possibly more of the mental injuries that have occurred over the years, especially culminating in the last 3 years of COVID mandates for the military. So I'm voting for an end of that in peace.
And that ties in with I'm voting to fight against the war against children in the human and child trafficking and the rape, slavery, industrial complex that is supporting such horrific abuse against children and selling them as slaves for sex. It is beyond our comprehension, the reality of what's going on and the trauma of that. If someone survives it, if a child survives it, the trauma and the physical damage they suffer with that the rest of their lives.
I'm voting for religious freedom. There has been an anti-Christian mentality in this administration. There has been a purge of Christians, and there's been outright using government agencies to go after Christians and Catholics alike. There has totally been a government versus God complex this last 4 years. And so I am voting for a restoration of the freedom of religion.
And I am voting for the return of education to teach the basics that we all need to live in a complex world. Math, history, civics, science, and religion, world religions, not just the Christian religion, but teaching the liberal arts and all of the great concepts that used to characterize education instead of this woke political indoctrination of our children and the shaming of different ethnic groups.
I'm voting for my children and my grandchildren to ensure their freedoms. I want to see them have a future. I want to see them to have the privileges and the honors that I had as a young man growing up in America. So I just, I'm voting for that. That's weighing heavy on my vote.
Yes, I agree. And for both of us who have been blessed to live in this country under some of the greatest years in our history, America really, and I've traveled around the world, I've actually been in communist countries under communist control as part of an educational mission in the Soviet Union and Eastern Europe under the behind the Iron Curtain. There is no question in my mind from all of my travels around the world and those experiences in communist countries under tyrannical control that America is the greatest country in the world. And that's why so many people want to come to this country. So why in the world do we even consider voting for someone who wants to dramatically change it and undo all that has made us great and enact policies that have already failed worldwide. The Soviet Union under the communists went under. Socialist governments fail. People live in abject poverty. There are breadlines. People die for lack of medical services. I've seen it. I know it's real. And those of you that have not traveled out of the United States, and less than 10% of Americans even have a passport. So you may not know what it's like in other countries, but why would anyone want to vote for a politician who wants to enact policies that undermine everything that's made us great? So in summary, Major Gary and I want you to think about your vote this year a little differently. Instead of focusing on what you don't like about a person, because none of us are perfect, we all are flawed, and all of us have characteristics that drive someone else nuts, that's a given. Think about all the things we've just said that are positive reasons to get out and exercise your right to vote and vote on principles that we've just enumerated many. You're voting for America to survive as a constitutional republic with life, liberty, and justice for all, one nation under God. Don't sit home and stay silent. This is our time to stand on principle boldly and courageously and stand against evil. Thank you for joining us today. Vote early and vote. We'll be back again with another whistleblower report. Thank you for joining us today.